number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
On the nighttime
now. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Well, glad you could be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we take you through the night tonight. We are just about, less than 20 hours away from the start of the NCAA championship game between North Carolina and Villanova. And a matchup I think is going to be good. I mean, if I'm leaning one way or the other, hey, listen, sometimes I say, yeah, I think this one's got blowout written all over it. I just think this is going to be an epic battle between two teams that had impressive showings on Saturday. And that's using a word that really undermines what they did. I thought Villanova played a game for the ages. I think most people who watched it realized they were watching something magnificent coming from Villanova. And with North Carolina, it just didn't take much to realize, you know, what I'm watching from the Tar Heels is a team that's deep, extremely talented, they're big, they can score multiple ways, they have now beaten Syracuse three times. They know how to play that zone. They knew how to break that press. They executed well. They didn't hit a three until late in the second half. It still didn't matter. They were still able to handle the best that Syracuse had to offer. Now, earlier tonight, I said the thing that kind of disappointed me was how many of my friends who went to Syracuse, rooted for Syracuse, sort of, you know, not excuse this, but sort of say, you know, I'm the most proud of this team. They made a run. And everything they're saying is right. But Syracuse is a really good program. And yeah, they had a 10 seed. Yeah, it was an off year. There were times they didn't play very well. They lost Jim Boeheim for 9 games and whatnot. But I was really surprised that Syracuse didn't look better in this game, given the fact that they had played North Carolina twice. That there was just nothing Syracuse could do against North Carolina. And in a lot of cases, and you've seen this a lot, especially like in college football or even mostly in college basketball where we get into these tournaments, where it's just because the other team is better. North Carolina is just better. There's nothing Syracuse could have done. Sure, they could have hit a few more shots. That could have changed the outlook of North Carolina, the way they played the game, and they would have hit more shots. North Carolina is just a better team than Syracuse. And that's just the way this went down. And I don't think any adjustments, I don't think any substitutions, change of pace, things that worked against Tony Bennett when they beat Virginia and came back in the second half down 16, I just don't think it was going to work against North Carolina. They cut the lead to 7. They had some chances. North Carolina finally hit some shots from the outside to pull away. And they were 0 for 10 before they hit their first 3. And still, they were up comfortably through most of the game. North Carolina is just better. This year, they're better. Beat them 3 times, they're better. Now, on the flip side, the earlier game on Saturday, that wasn't the case. I didn't think Oklahoma was that much, I didn't think Oklahoma was a lot worse than Villanova. Let me put it that way. I thought they were better than Villanova on paper. They had a better player in Buddy Hield. They had better go-to guys. Spangler, Isaiah Cousins, James Woodard, right? I thought Villanova had a lot of fantastic players, but they did not have a superstar that really could take a game over, but they don't need that. They came out, hit all their shots. When you're playing a team that hits all their shots, you're not going to beat them. It doesn't matter. You're just not going to beat them. And when you shoot 71%, I don't care what level of basketball it is. It's almost impossible to beat a team that's not missing. And Villanova was not missing. So a lot of people want to break down the meltdown of Oklahoma. Tell me what Oklahoma could have done differently to ward off the Villanova Wildcats. They went on a 25-0 run in the second half to win this by 44. But how many of you watched Saturday's game and got the same feeling I got in the first half, that the game was completely and utterly controlled by Villanova? It never felt that Oklahoma could do anything. Oh, Hield had a couple of good plays. Every now and then they do something cool. But I never once felt this game was in both hands or it was a good combat between these two teams. This seemed like Villanova's game right away and throughout most of the game. And before they got to the 25-0 run, it felt like Villanova's game all the way. So now we have two teams that dominated their games on Saturday. And if you were bored, I totally get it. After all, not necessarily fun to watch a team lose by 44 points. And Syracuse never really made a charge. The closest they got in the game was 7 points in the second half. They never made a charge. So these two semifinal games lacked the drama of, you know, last year's Kentucky-Wisconsin game, where it kind of went down to the final minute and you were kind of on the edge of your seat and history was on the line and all that other stuff. This one was pretty much handled by both teams and relatively easy. But as I've been saying all night tonight, one game captivated my attention more, and it wasn't the one that was closer in score. It was the one that showcased a dominating performance. Because sometimes in sports, I want to watch all the close ones. I want to watch all the games that are going to come down to the final at bat or final minute or final possession. But then there's sometimes where I want to watch a team perform something historic, even if it means annihilating their opponent. And I like Oklahoma a lot, and I love Buddy Hield. They were the team I picked to win it all. But I'm never going to see a team in the national semifinal game do what Villanova did. I can almost guarantee you that. You're never going to see that again. You're not going to see a team win that game by 44 points and shoot over 70% from the floor. You're never going to see it. And the whole time I'm watching it, I kept thinking to myself, you know what? How dominant is this game going to be when the buzzer sounds? What's the final score going to be? What's the tally going to be? How historic is this going to be? Is the people at Elias Sports Bureau going to start coming up with some crazy statistics on this? Yeah, they did. The numbers are staggering. Very few NCAA tournament games. So we're talking 16 versus ones. Very few NCAA tournament games are blown out like that by 44 points. Very few have that total. And it's something to enjoy. Travis, by the way, on Twitter, has been doing an outstanding job. We got to give props to the work that he's done giving us pictures of his seat at WrestleMania tonight. They are great pictures. I don't know what camera he's using. I can't imagine it's straight from his phone, right? I mean, his phone pictures are great. Detailed, lights. He's way up at AT&T Stadium, way up. But he's got a good view of the Jumbotron, 100,000 people at WrestleMania tonight. We had made some comments about the security, not being able to get people in on time, the seats and where you sit. And he said, these are my seats, and I didn't even have the highest seat up. There are events, even if the seats are not good, that you definitely want to be a part of. I got to believe that if you're a wrestling fan in the Dallas area, you just don't miss getting a chance to go see this.
No, if you can go to WrestleMania, you go for the experience at least once. And then
it's
got to
be awesome.
Yes. I mean, I've been to a few. One, and this was back in the 90s, and they were incredible then. I can't imagine what tonight or last night was like in Dallas.
I wish I knew that. I wish I knew. I'd love to be able to get people like, what happened? I don't know what happened there. I don't know what the big... I guess Shane McMahon jumped from the top of the cage.
Yeah, the Hell in the Cell match against The Undertaker is all I know.
Did he win that?
I have no idea.
Not sure. I guess it's easy to find out.
I saw Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels.
Really?
Were together at one point.
I saw The Rock was there?
Yes.
What's The Rock doing there? He's just paying tribute? Or he's not doing anything, is he? Rock is just hanging out, being part of the alumni, right?
I guess.
Because he was really popular.
He was huge.
Really popular.
That was when I was watching.
Yeah.
Back in the late 90s.
I was watching. I wasn't, you know, like knee deep in it, you know, but I was watching enough when Rock was in it. My wife loved The Rock. Like all women out there. She loved The Rock. So she didn't mind if I was kind of paying attention to it. But no, Stone Cold was there. It's great.
Yeah.
Dude, I want to ask this question of wrestling fans. If you have this answer, if you know this answer, this is a serious question. If you're a wrestling fan, you were at WrestleMania, you just know this sport really well, you just know this angle. Well, hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Do they do any tributes to fallen wrestlers? Like, did they do anything to honor like Ultimate Warrior or anybody like that?
Macho Man.
They have Macho Man. Have they ever done that? Do they do that? Do they acknowledge the wrestlers that have fallen in the show? Not like as a side thing, in the show. At Tony D Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, we've been talking a lot tonight about the NCAA tournament and WrestleMania, which went on in Dallas on a Sunday. What a night for social media. Walking Dead season finale, in my opinion, stunk. And people went nuts on Twitter with that. And then WrestleMania just dominated social media. Casey sent us a picture. And again, if you were there, if you're listening to us in Dallas and you were there and you want to chime in, 800-777-2907. Also hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. I did ask the question, does the WWE... do they honor the fallen wrestlers, the wrestlers who died, like, Ultimate Warrior and, the list goes on and on. I don't want to list them all, but you know who I'm talking about. Do they do that? Do they do any tributes like that? I don't know if this is something that they go, no, we do that kind of off script. We'll do that when we're all real, but when the show is on, we don't acknowledge that. I'm just curious because if a Major League Baseball player died, they would honor him before the game. If a famous Yankee died, they would honor him before the game. You know, he was part of the Yankee, whatnot. But I'm just curious because it's a show and it's a scripted show. And it's, do they kind of go out of that wall and say, you know, this guy who was really this person passed away, died of whatever, however they died. And we want to acknowledge them. Or do they say, no, that's kind of stuff we do off script. Like, we'll do this off the show, but we won't do it in the show. When the cameras are rolling, we don't acknowledge that. When the cameras are off, we definitely do our thing. I would just love to know. 800-777-2907. Because I swear, I'd love to keep up with this. And I wish I did, because the video you guys are sending, the pictures you guys are sending, makes me want to take my kids. Like, this looks like fun. By the way, Casey sent his picture. He has a little bit better seat than Travis did. He looks like he's on the floor with his picture of Senna and The Rock together. Man, I got to retweet this stuff. It's good stuff. All right. By the way, Adam, my daughter and my wife, my 9-year-old daughter and my wife, love watching Dancing with the Stars. Now, they watch it every week when it's on. And this year, Antonio Brown and Von Miller are both on Dancing with the Stars. So my daughter is a Broncos fan, and because I root for the Pittsburgh Steelers, we have a little bit of a little fun back and forth, which one of our guys is better on the show and whatnot. We're having a little father-daughter fun with that. And so whenever Antonio Brown or Von Miller are going to dance, my daughter comes to get me, and she's like, "You got to watch it, Dad." And I go, "Okay, great." And I come sit. So I hadn't seen it. We didn't watch last week's show, but we taped it for my wife. She come back from her business trip, and we're watching it. Now, remember when we announced that Von Miller was going to be on Dancing with the Stars, and I said, if I'm a GM, I do not allow my athletes to go on this show.
Right.
Like, no publicity is worth the dancing. But I watched the show and I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I've overblown that, right? And maybe I'm just being too cautious. That in the end, they're just dancing. They're doing the salsa, the rumba, or some ballroom stuff. Fine. So they do the intro. I kid you not. So they do the Tom Bergeron and Aaron Andrews are like doing the intro to the show. And one of the stars, she comes out without her dancer. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they say her dancer, Mark, suffered a back injury during rehearsals and they had to get another dancer in his place. When they talked to him, he was going to need an x-ray on his spine to determine the severity of the injury. He fell on his back and I guess he knew immediately he was in real trouble and may need surgery. So guess what, Adam? My fears are not that far off.
No, not at all.
If a professional dancer on Dancing with the Stars suffered a major back injury that has him on the sidelines, what do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to do if Antonio Brown, you know, has a herniated disc because he slipped while he was performing the salsa and the cha-cha? Get these guys off these shows.
Am I mistaken? Didn't Antonio Brown do this once already?
Hines Ward did it once already.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's Hines Ward.
Yeah, and he won it. He got to wave the towel.
Him and Emmitt Smith won.
Emmitt Smith won as well. Jerry Rice is on it. Doug Flutie is on this year as well. I shouldn't point out that it's a football.
What's with the NFL guys?
I know. The NFL guys love being on the show, apparently.
Chad Johnson did it, I believe, as well.
Chad Johnson was in the audience. Yeah, he was in the audience for the episode we saw, which I guess was week two, which was on, I don't know, last Tuesday or whenever it comes on. But yeah, the NFL guys are huge on this thing. But I listen, I'm a little nervous every time Antonio Brown gets on that show. I'm like, look, I lost him for a playoff game against the Denver Broncos that I think the Steelers could have won if he was in it. I don't need to lose him because he mistimed the two-step while he was doing the ballroom dancing part of the show. By the way, those guys are, I don't know when they train for it, but it's got to be brutal work. Oh, by the way, this was the episode that Von Miller was fined for passing gas all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His partner, cute little blonde girl named Whitney, really attractive. She fines him $100 for every that he does. I guess it was up to $1,500.
Oh wow! Okay.
So,
geez, what is he eating?
What does he eat? Like, right? What does he go to a fast food joint? And then he goes to practice. Oh God, Von Miller, great. Travis again on Twitter, to answer your question, they honor them the night before WrestleMania at the Hall of Fame inductions. Usually no mentions at WrestleMania. That's what I'm asking. That's a great answer. That's what I'm wondering. I wouldn't be surprised at all. Does it surprise you? They wouldn't do that during the show.
No.
Part of it. That's something that you could totally do off script.
Yeah,
if you
like,
will.
I'm sure they have like a big dinner the night before.
Yeah.
Or like an award ceremony the night before that they can do.
Yeah, if one of your wrestlers died in the calendar year between WrestleMania whatever and WrestleMania now, then yeah, I could see them doing like something while the event's in the town and you do all these ceremonies, you kind of do all this side stuff that you make an honor. You say, well, you know, we lost one of our great ones, Mike Jones, who played the Ultimate Warrior, whatever his name was. And we're really saddened by that. And we just want to put a video clip of some of his great stuff. And this is what we want to say about him. But in the script of the show, I can't imagine Vince would do that. You know, everybody's celebrating and having a good time and watching wrestling. Not that it's a downer. These guys lived good lives and they died. But I just don't think Vince would do it in the show. So I was a fan of wrestling when was it Owen Hart died? Fell from the.
Yes, I was watching
that. Owen Hart? Yeah, Owen Hart. God, I gotta remember.
I believe that was WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken.
Half of these guys are rolling their eyes at me because they're like, "Oh, Tony doesn't realize." But yeah, I'm doing the best I can.
Owen Hart died when he was trying to come down.
Yeah,
trying to come down zip line.
Right. Because his brother's Brett. Right. And Brett had some real issues with that. Over the years, it took him a long time to. Like settle that, or he was like going after the WWE. Another thing I want to know, and I'm having fun tonight with WrestleMania. And again, feel free to hit me up on the phones to help me out with this. Why was Jim Ross fired? I didn't know Jim Ross was fired. I thought he had always quit, resigned to do other things. And it wasn't until this week I saw an article, Jim Ross talks about his firing. And I didn't read the article, so now I got to go find the article. I'm sure I can Google it. But that reminded me that I meant to go look that up because I love Jim Ross, and I didn't know he was canned. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
I got to admit, I am loving tonight. I am getting so much feedback from WrestleMania and the information. I don't know stuff. And I'm just wanting you guys to share it on Twitter, @TonyDRadio. I'm getting answers to my questions. This is fun. This is really, really fun. Rarely do I have to, I come into a situation where I just don't know anything. And this is neat. This is neat. I got the answer to my Jim Ross question. Steven on, said Jim Ross was fired for insulting a sponsor while drunk at a WWE event 2 years ago. I had no idea. I swear to God, Adam, I thought he had retired, like semi-retired.
I'm right with you.
Like, just, you know, to travel, it's too much. I want to move on to other things. Pass the torch. I'm kind of done. I'm moving on. I had no idea he got fired. I've been out of the loop for a while. And then this week, as the last, I saw a quick article about Jim Ross, and it was talked about a number of things. And then one of the things was his firing from WWE. And I went, fired? He got fired? And I meant to read the article, and I kind of did some other stuff, and then I meant to go back, and this tonight show reminded me that I didn't find the answer. And Steven, so now I really have to read the details. Travis is on the line. He's been sending us pictures from WrestleMania in Dallas all night. How are you, Travis?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man. You got some great pictures, by the way. Your phone's fantastic.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Not the best seats, but we're in the house.
Yeah, but still, you got a great view of the Jumbotron, and at least you're in the building, so it's still, I mean, how would you rate the overall experience?
Pretty great. You know, a lot of the top guys on the roster were hurt, you know, guys you really want to see, especially for, you know, WWE Super Bowl, but, you know, they made the most of it, I thought.
I was going to ask you about Shane McMahon. So Shane McMahon jumps off the top of the cage. Had he not been involved in wrestling for a while? Wasn't he doing something else?
He's been gone for years, man.
Okay, because I heard he was involved in some like media project with China. Like he was like working with distributing movies in China or something. He was making a fortune doing that.
I wouldn't doubt that. I honestly don't know what he's been doing. I just know he's been gone, and like 4 or 5 weeks ago, he came out to a crazy pop, and he spoiled Vince was giving Stephanie some ridiculous award, and he came out during the middle of it and staked his claim on the company. And tonight, the match between him and Undertaker was supposed to be for control of Monday Night Raw. Of course, he lost. So, you know, whatever that means to you. But you know.
Do the fans like that he lost, or was that like disappointing that he lost? Like, where were the fans lining up?
You know, it's a tough situation because of Undertaker's WrestleMania record. You know, he's 21-1. He's only lost to Brock Lesnar a couple years ago. So everyone wants to see Taker come out and, you know, be Taker. You know, he's a legend. Some say he's the greatest ever to do it. And for him to go up against Shane, I think a lot of people wanted. I mean, my friends that I was with wanted to see Shane win. You know, like I said, for whatever that means, control of Raw, you know, whoever's actually pulling the strings is not going to be Shane McMahon. But, you know, just to inject something a little bit different into the show. But, you know, I think everyone kind of knew Taker was going to find a way to win no matter what. But you knew Shane was going to take some kind of insane bump, and that was it, just off the cage through a table. It's kind of amazing.
What was the bring the house down moment? Was that it, or was there another?
There were a couple. One was, there were some tag teams going back and forth, going at each other after a match, and Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, and Mick Foley all came out, and they all did their special moves, their finishers on some guys, and Stone Cold stunned, like, three people. It was kind of amazing. Like, I don't remember the last time I saw Stone Cold do his finisher on someone. And then, you know, The Rock came out, and when The Rock came out right before the main event, and it was pretty cool because everyone just thought he was going to talk. And then, I don't know if you're familiar, but there's kind of an enigma in WWE called the Wyatt family, and Bray Wyatt's one of the bigger names on the roster. He, ironically, wasn't involved in WrestleMania at all. We were kind of surprised, my friends and I. And then The Rock was out talking, and next thing you know, the Wyatt family comes out, and Bray Wyatt, you know, gets in his face and says this and that. And next thing you know, Rock just rips his shirt off and rips his pants off. He's ready to go.
Nice.
Garb on. Yeah. And one of the Wyatt brothers, if you will, they're not really brothers, but one of the guys in the Wyatt family, just, you know, they set him up there to fight him, and he rock bottomed him in 6 seconds. The whole place went crazy.
Well, I got to say, Travis, thank you for the pictures. Thank you for helping us sort out what was going on with the security and all that. That really, really helped us get the information out.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Thanks, man.
The thing at the front was wild. There was no organization whatsoever. It was really, really tough.
Well, I tell you right now, your pictures were amazing, the amount of crowds that was outside that place. It was really crazy.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Travis. Appreciate it. Good stuff.
Thank you, guys. Big fan. Listen all the time.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that. That's cool. That's awesome. What a cool night. This has been fun.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I don't do this.
We didn't even watch it.
We didn't even watch it. And I swear, this is every now and then you get to do something like this. Like, we tell you what we saw and what we observed, and that's kind of what we do. And every now and then you get to break off doing this. And I'm not going to lie to you. I was really impressed with how many people watched this, were at this on Twitter. I mean, it just, like, I was following Twitter tonight because I was watching The Walking Dead season finale. I wanted to know what people were thinking about it. And everything was wrestling, everything. And I went, all right, I'm putting this in the outline, because even though I didn't see it, even though I don't follow it as much, it's in Dallas. We're on in Dallas. I was like, I got to get some feedback on this, because this is a big deal.
Well, and also, I mean, this is what happens when you have kind of two duds of Final Four games.
Yeah, that's true, right?
I mean, you turned it into something else.
People go, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Watch something else.
You had a, what, 40? Felt
44,
like 55 point blowout.
44 point blowout, and then 17, 18.
20 at one point. And
yeah. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something, man, and this is something you can't predict, because Villanova and Oklahoma should have been a good game, right? It should have been a good game, and it just wasn't. It ended up being a blowout. But this is why I was mad when George Mason made it a couple years ago. Remember, like, 10 years ago when George Mason was in it? And everyone's like, this is what the tournament's all about. It's about the little guy getting... No, it's not, because these usually ends up being really horrible national semifinal games. But you can get a horrible national semifinal game from anywhere. But a lot of times it's like, no, when Cinderella shows up at these things, it's just not enough. And Syracuse is not a typical Cinderella, but this was a game. I don't think Syracuse can beat North Carolina anytime. All right? You know how teams say, well, if they play 10 times, you know, they'll split five games. I think if they played 10 times, North Carolina would win 9 or 10 of them. I think North Carolina is better than Syracuse in every aspect, all of them. There wasn't something Syracuse just wasn't doing right, and if they just did this right, it would have been a better game. No, North Carolina was better than they are. 800-777-2907. I'm really, really fascinated with this Jim Ross being fired for being drunk at an event thing. I got to find this story out. If I bring this up tomorrow, forgive me, but I may have to do some detailed reading on this. I'm really blown away. This is shocking to me. I know it sounds crazy, but it's shocking, okay? Because I'm a broadcaster. And when you're a broadcaster and you've done play-by-play, I've done play-by-play of just about everything. And I'm in some sports, I'm good. In some sports, I'm really good, but I wouldn't say I'm great at any sport. Not baseball, I'm terrible. My wife, who loved me when we got married, my wife was all about just loving me and everything I did, and I'm awesome, and my husband's great, and we're just newlyweds. You know how you go through that early newlywed couple where you're just so excited to be married? And my wife listened to me do a baseball game like within 6 months of our marriage, and she told me it was terrible. That's how bad it was. When your newlywed wife tells you you're not good at something, right off the bat, like she didn't even sugarcoat it. So I'm not great at anything. So when I hear people who are great at broadcasting, I admire them and I want to follow them and I want to get to know them and I want to listen to them do their craft. Jim Ross in wrestling, to me, was just the best of the best. I loved listening him to do this. Loved it. And he even did some XFL stuff. So when I heard he got fired, I was like, wait a minute, that's not how I thought he was going. I thought he'd kind of semi-retired, but thanks for the update on that. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
This is Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Working the third shift.
This is Tony D.
Once again,
from the Quicken Loans Studios, here's Tony D.
All right, 800-777-2907, the number if you want to chime in. Steven on Twitter, I remember original reports said both him and Flair were drunk. We're talking about Jim Ross. But may have just been Flair. All right, he sent me the link, so I'll have to take a look at that after the show. And thank you, Casey, as well. He sent another picture of The Undertaker versus Shane McMahon, Hell in a Cage match. Very good stuff tonight. Guys really came through. I give you guys all the applause. Very, very good. So what are we doing with this Denver Broncos Colin Kaepernick story? Anything yet? We're just going to ride with this to the end?
Yeah, basically until, I don't know if it's someone's going to blink. And I feel like the 49ers have to do something because he's going to start being owed money here with some camps coming up.
I don't understand. Okay, here's what I don't understand. I don't understand the 49ers side of the story. I get playing around and throwing false feelers, if you will, out there, right? Like, we want him, we love him, we want him to be on the team. All right. And that we know that that's not always truthful, and teams don't always tell the truth when they say that. But, are the 49ers a Blaine Gabbert team now? Or are they a let's find our quarterback in the draft now? Like, I'm not sure. Where are the Niners right now if they don't want Kaepernick under a new head coach? Look, and let's be honest. It's not like they can't afford him. They've worked the money. They're fine.
Yes.
They can pay him the money. They agreed to it. They're not desperately trying to get rid of Kaepernick. I think if a situation presents itself where they can get some serious stuff and fine, you listen to the offer. But it seems to me that the Niners are okay with Kaepernick under center. They're listening to whatever the Broncos have, and they're kind of tossing this back and forth. But I don't think they're desperate to get rid of him because Blaine Gabbert is their quarterback now. They either go to him or they get somebody in the draft or they bring in somebody. I don't know where they are quarterback-wise if it's not Kaepernick.
I think it has to be the person who's going to have to blink here is Kaepernick. He's going to have to take a pay cut and then be traded if he really wants out of San Francisco like he says.
If he does, and the Niners feel like this has to happen because he does not want to be here, then by all means, I am. If I'm the Niners, I work out every deal. But here's the deal: if I'm the Niners, in that scenario, how the cards right fall in the Niners' hands?
Yes.
So I'm looking at this from the Niners' perspective, going: if this guy really wants out of here, then this guy is going to have to take a pay cut and then sign a new deal with Denver or reorganize this because we're not going to pay a boatload of money, in a deal that sends him somewhere else that makes him happy. We couldn't care less about this.
Yep.
So if we're going to pay guaranteed money, then you're going to throw footballs for us. But if you think we're going to pay $5 million, $4.5 million, $5 million, $5.5 million of your guaranteed money for you to play somewhere else, too bad. That's not going to happen.
I think worst case scenario for the 49ers would be for them to say he takes the pay cut and they trade him. I personally think they want one of Wentz or Goff in the draft at number 7.
Right.
Now imagine if a team like Philly or somebody like that jumps in front of San Francisco and both quarterbacks are gone. Say Cleveland and Philly take them. Then what do you do? You can't take Paxton Lynch at 7.
No. No, you can't.
I mean, we've seen teams do it. Remember when the Vikings took Christian Ponder at 12?
Yes, they did. That's right.
And that's just because there was a run on quarterback, so they felt had to do it. But that would be worst case scenario for them because I don't think they want Blaine Gabbert as their guy moving forward.
No. Gabbert was a nice stopgap.
Yes.
He might even start
the season even if they do draft.
He
Goff
did pretty
Wentz.
Good when, yes. he, when he filled in for Kaepernick. He did admirable. He was not a disaster. He was actually quite. He did quite well. But no, I mean,
he could maybe fill in for half a season till the rookie's ready to go, and then you just turn the reins over, even if they're winning or losing, because they're not a team that's going to compete for a Super Bowl this year.
I'm interested in, and then where, you know, how much does he work with Kubiak, and if he does become a Bronco, is he effective? Does he have to slow things up a bit? And I don't know. What kind of Kaepernick are we getting? I don't know anymore.
Basically
he had all of the stuff that got him to the Super Bowl. Right? And remember, they were almost Super Bowl champs. Remember, like they were on the cusp of scoring.
Yeah.
and they didn't score late in that game. They could have been this could have been a Super Bowl winning quarterback we're arguing about now. But he went from Super Bowl quarterback to nothing in a real quick amount of time. I mean, he fell off the map, and a lot of it was defenses adjusted to who what he was, and you can't run that kind of read option stuff for very long in the NFL, and you've got to change your game. I never know with Kaepernick, because it's like, oh, here's all the things that made you successful, get rid of all of them, and you've got to now become a quarterback that plays the game this way, and are you capable of playing it this way, not only well, but well enough to lead a team to the postseason?
I don't know how happy Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders would be if Kaepernick comes in.
I agree.
Let's put it that way.
I agree.
Because
I know the other guys.
He can throw a deep ball, but it could be 40 yards to your right when you're trying to run it down.
Weren't some of the current 49ers griping a bit?
Yes.
The guys that were on, like Crabtree.
Yeah, Crabtree got out of there because he didn't really want to deal with it.
Right. My.
I mean, Torrey Smith went there just because I think it was the only team that would take him.
I'm sorry. They had their I don't feel sorry for Denver. They had their guy.
Yeah.
They had their guy. All they had to do was sign him. Sign him at the time. No, we're going to wait on Peyton. Well, I understand you got to wait on Peyton, but you also got to tell Peyton we got to sign the guy.
Can you imagine if that defense isn't going to be as good because they lost some pieces, but if they have a great defense again and they're blowing it with Kaepernick or Mark Sanchez.
Oh, absolutely. And look, let's not pretend that Peyton Manning, when he was mediocre, was winning games by 3 touchdowns. They were winning barely with bad quarterback play. Yet winning, but barely. Yahoo Sports Radio.